Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, LeBron James says he's not going to shut things down this year, no matter what happens to the Lakers on the court. But should he? We'll ask that next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We get this thing up for you wherever you get your podcasts, however you get your podcasts. We appreciate you getting this podcast when you do it. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. You subscribe to that. You can get it early, particularly on non-game nights. Lakers do have a game, Andy, on Friday. It is the return of Kyle Kuzma and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Mana from heaven to the crypto.com arena. First Laker game against the Lakers since the trade. A lot to talk about with Kyle Kuzma, who says he's not like personal or whatever. He's trying to score 8 billion points. I think we can all agree on that. So we'll talk about that. But first though, Andy, let's talk about LeBron James, because he said not going to shut it down. He's going to play these games because he's a professional. This is what he does. He loves basketball. And this is what he's going to do. And he is paid a lot of money to do it. And he loves it. Okay. Should he?
I mean, it depends on how you're looking at this. Obviously, LeBron, it is his prerogative to be playing if he feels like he is capable of being out there, if he feels like there's something to play for right now, whether you're talking about, you know, the quest to stay in the play-in mix for however long they will be a part of the playoffs. And there's also the question of LeBron eyeing Kareem's all-time scoring record, and every single game possible matters in terms of the opportunity to put up points and whether or not that is a motivating factor for him to be out there. And saying this, by the way, without judgment, just saying it could be one of the motivating factors. If LeBron wants to break the record, more power to him. I don't blame him for doing it. But whatever reasons he is out there, you know, even if it's just pure professionalism, you do have to, I think, weigh that against the pragmatic, which is, does it actually long-term, even for next season, or if the Lakers extend LeBron for however long he is with this team, does it make sense to burn minutes off LeBron? Because you know there's a limited amount that he's going to have to play at this level. We're already seeing the difficulty for him to stay on the court regularly. We're already seeing the effect of him being on the court, which is, you know, he cannot go full, you know, full speed on both ends or anywhere close to it, particularly defensively. And if you still want to be trying to win a title within that LeBron window, does it make sense to use up any of that this season?
However much wear and tear you're going to get from the next 18 games, whatever.
Is that the practical smart choice?
And it's funny, like you could see in the Houston game. In fact, you texted me about this. Like, LeBron is just so over this center thing. Like, I'm going to play center, and I'm going to. It's not that it's a bad idea,
particularly on the defensive end. Right. Like, really, offensively, in some respects, it doesn't matter. But defensively, I think he is decidedly over the whole anchor of the defense, last line thing.
Right, because it's not the banging of bodies and this and that. There was a moment with like a minute and a half left in the game where Alpi Şengün went like, it's like, you know what, I'm going to win this game for my team. I'm going to body up LeBron freaking James, and LeBron like blocked him, and that was the end of it. Like, but it's the stuff that happens during the effort that it takes to be that back line. It's not so much the banging of the bodies. It's all that recovery and stuff. I agree with you. It's just, he's in the words of Roger Murtaugh, he's just too old for this bleep.
Yeah, I think he has never really understood all of the stuff that AD did on this defense in that particular role. Like, I know LeBron's smart enough to know it. You never truly understand
until you have to do
anything
it.
Until you do it.
But it's also, this was not, I don't think, supposed to be a season-long fix, which is essentially what it has turned into. It's like, okay, I'll do it for this little stretch here while Anthony Davis is on the shelf with his knee injury, and it will get us through, and sure, it's heroic and it's inspiring. But like, to do it again, like, it's, I know fans get on him for his defense, and LeBron, who it said he didn't play a good game against Houston on Wednesday, and it was inefficient, 9 of 23 from the floor, and defensive miscues. Which are, he's not capable at this point, and it is unfair to ask him to be that dominant on both sides.
Especially with the knee that's bothering him.
Correct. And he's not healthy. And that was the other point I was going to make is, you know, it is, he is in a place where he's having to do too much. And he is in a place where ultimately it's probably not going to matter. It's like, you know, get him to the playoffs. And I just don't see, they haven't played well enough to make me think they're going to beat Phoenix in a first round series or something. They just haven't seen it. But the flip side is, you know, you talked about Hart. We had a whole conversation about Hart on Thursday's show. And, you know, it's an interesting thing to fit in that category, like playing for the sake of it, playing for, you know, records, playing for, you know, try to help the Lakers get where they're, but also playing because it's my job and I love to play and I'm playing because I'm supposed to play. Like that's part of the equation. It's almost, you know, we can talk about this next, maybe. It's almost like, you know, where do you put that on hold then to think about next year? So, you know, we'll talk about that and we'll talk about the return of Kyle Kuzma and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online Basketball. It is in full swing for both pro and college hoops, and for all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sporting bet needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC, and as we found out today, it will be baseball. Yes.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah. They worked out. It is basically been agreed upon in principle. There's the expectation that, woo-hoo, there's going to be a 162 game season.
Nice. Out there and bet on it, people.
Exactly. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet online where the game starts.
So where do you come in this? Because Andy, when we talked on Thursday's show about this idea of Hart, it certainly probably doesn't matter if LeBron James finishes the season, like in terms of the Lakers having a chance to succeed where they were otherwise failed. I think we're looking at failure, but it sends a huge message. It sends a really serious message that if he just decides, you know what, I'm shutting it down, even though I could play if I wanted to, in a little bit of pain, in a little bit of whatever, but shutting it down when he could be on the floor is also a huge, huge message that it sends. So I'm not sure like where you come down on that.
Well, I mean, it is a message. I mean, it might be just a message of honesty, but I guess it is a message. The flip side though, the flip side of this is that if LeBron really doesn't believe in what they're doing, then in some respect, his heart isn't there because his heart isn't in what they're doing. Like that is a big factor in what I was talking about yesterday. Like the idea of your heart being in what you're doing, you know, connected to a belief in what you're doing. So yeah, I mean, LeBron has been out there whenever he can be, but it's been pretty clear. And, you know, this is, by the way, where the passive aggressive shots at Rob Pelinka and, you know, the floating ideas of going to Cleveland and all that stuff, you know, messaging that you are not happy with the moves that weren't made at this deadline. You are not happy with the state of this team. He's perfectly within his rights to think that, even acknowledging the role LeBron played in the team being where it's at. But the byproduct of it is your teammates know you don't believe in him. It's like what happened in 2019, the first year that LeBron was with the team, and he very obviously wanted the entire team traded if necessary for
Anthony Davis. Sure, but I mean, I get that. Right, but like, doesn't that mean he'd be quitting on them? Just flat quitting if he decided to play when he went. But well, not no. in certain. But there's a big difference between in certain respects playing with without the full belief and literally not playing at all.
No, if the reason he shut it down is I'm concerned I'm doing damage to my knee, that's not quitting on the team in the same way of saying, you know what, y'all suck, I'm out of here. Like, you are not worth my time. Like, this is guys shut down for reasons like this.
I mean, if he flat can't play, if he reaches a point where it's like medically a bad idea, and look, we may get there where it's like, you know, 5 or 6 games left in the season, or they have to sit before a proverbial, a possible, not proverbial, it's going to happen, play-in game. And stuff like that. Like, it's, I'm not saying he's not going to miss any more time, but like the idea that those two things are, at least he's still showing up to work and he's still playing and he's still out there doing it. I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily think the messaging there is wrong. It would be better if he wasn't so public about these things. It would also be better if Rob Pelinka hadn't said that they were on board.
Sure. Obviously,
and you know, it's sort of the root of all of that controversy, I think. But it's just, it gets to me to where the speaks to how complicated and difficult and ugly and upsetting this season has been.
It's always difficult, Brian, to function when you know the leader of your team doesn't believe in your team. And it's pretty obvious.
Well, He needs to fake it better.
I mean, he is showing up. He's going out there. He's not totally dogging it. Like, I want to make it clear, that's not what I'm saying. What? You're giving me a look.
I'm sorry, not totally dogging. I don't think he's dogging it at all.
Well, no, I meant he's not totally dogging it when he's on the court. Like, he's not out there just phoning the effort in. That's my point. He's not doing that. But it's been pretty clear that he hasn't had a real belief in this team for reasons that are totally understandable. But I'm just saying, in some respects, the message is already sent. So that's why I'm talking about the practical end of it. Because if you're not going to play in a way where your belief and heart are truly evident, then in some respects, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube anyway. So you start thinking about these other factors.
Okay, that's fair. But I just think there's still enough space in between those things where it's like, yeah, I got questions about this team. I, you know, even publicly, it's hard for, you know, everybody's really at this point where they're having trouble saying that they think they're going to go and literally not playing.
But LeBron's also had a difficult time staying on the court anyway. Like, something you'd be potentially concerned about if they were in first place. The difference is
easier for him to sit out games if they were in first place.
No, but I mean just the knee itself and the practical effects of playing on it are something you'd be concerned about if they were in first place. Right. The difference is it would be easier to handle, but the problem's the problem.
If he can play, he should play. Even if, yes, it is an extra game, few games or 15 games, 12 games of wear and tear on his body on that knee that may have repercussions, whether it's next year, the year after, on the rest of his career. If he can play, he should play. And I think that's his attitude. I think it's the right attitude to have.
Sure.
So let's talk about guys who are coming back to Crypto.com Arena on Friday. Get those thank you videos fired up. They'll get thank you videos. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Kyle Kuzman, they get thank you videos, don't you think?
Oh, not only are they going to, they should, but they should. If you recall, Brian, actually, this popped into my head in thinking about different stuff to talk about with the return of those two. Right after the trade for Russ, I was looking over the schedule and I noticed that the Wizards didn't come to LA until after the deadline. And I had said that I really hoped that Montrezl Harrell, who was part of that deal to the Wizards, got moved before the deadline, because the tribute videos for Kuz and KCP were deservedly coming, and it would have been incredibly awkward to figure out how to acknowledge Trez, because it's going to seem incredibly impolite if they don't on a night where they're honoring two of his teammates.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Trez played one totally inconsequential season with the Lakers that mostly left him visibly and outwardly unhappy. you know, and those two other guys were key parts of a title run. And as much as I love awkward hilarity, as much as anybody, you know, that's one of my favorite things in the world. Trez does not deserve to be a victim of that awkward hilarity. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. And him being there would have messed up the night for everyone involved, the Lakers, KCP, Kuz, and Trez. So I'm glad my wish casting came true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess Charlotte doesn't come back this year.
No, so, he's not playing the Lakers this year.
Yeah.
So the Lakers actually got off the, I think this kind of worked out for everyone.
So, yeah. And I, you know, they'll get a video and they'll get a big ovation and all of that. It was interesting. Kuz has spoken obviously a lot about, you know, his time here, you know, with this game approaching. He said some interesting things just about being comfortable in his role and being able to kind of spread his wings and fly, so to speak, not having to look over his shoulder, making mistakes, and all that. I think a lot of that, Andy, is sort of residual from his earlier days here, but it never really ended. And certainly the idea that, you know, he was constantly on the trading block and constantly having his performance picked apart for what kind of player he is. Did he graduate into the contract? Did he not? All of that stuff clearly weighed on the guy.
Yeah. I mean, he went on, Brian Kuz, a hell of a ride with this team. I mean, when you think about when, as a rookie, he immediately became seen as the found money surprise late in the draft class, like outshined Lonzo in a lot of respects. He had the star personality. He was Kobe approved. And he seemed like the potential alpha for the Lakers, like in the making, like temperamentally, if nothing else. Then people started seeing him as a guy that could no longer get by as just found money. Fans were hoping that he or BI would emerge as the true number two alongside LeBron, and for a variety of reasons didn't happen. And then LeBron, you could tell, never fully bought into them in that role and really, like I said before, wanted AD badly. Then he became the only kid left over after the AD trade. Everyone was gone. Then he had to step back, become more of a role player, had to buy in, and he did. Kuz really did, but he outwardly thought he could do more. He switched positions, like you said, always in rumors. He had fans on him because they thought he was too into fashion and hair and
I realize you can't wear that sweater twice, but I hope he wears the gigantic, you know, sleeved sweater.
Right.
To the crypt on Friday.
We've talked about this before, Brian. Like, all the kids, and you and I think both have soft spots for those guys because we covered them and we really liked them. Like, we liked them as people, and at times they were a really fun group to watch play. You know, even though they were not good, you could see the potential and they were fun together. But like Kuz, BI, Lonzo, Randall, they all went on some pretty crazy rides. Like, even Clarkson.
It's just, well, I mean, look, this is a, when you are a franchise that is committed to stars and basically nothing but stars, you know, it's really hard, unless you are a Ja Morant, unless you are, you know, in theory, if he were healthy, Zion, one of these guys that hits Luka, Trae Young, guys who hit so quickly that it is very clear that they are going to be the person you build your franchise around. If you're anywhere underneath that and you play for a franchise like the Lakers, it's very difficult to get comfortable. And this is one of the challenges that they have in terms of figuring out how they're going to get better again from this place, whether it's somehow creating a full rebuild, somehow trying to find ways to get younger players here, or if it's just go find other stars. But like the position Kuz is in, like you said, same position all these other guys were in, it's a very hard one to be. The other thing, though, that the return of KCP and Kuz really illustrate, Andy, is truisms about roster construction and what matters and what doesn't. Because a lot of the stuff that Kuz developed when he was in LA are things that are serving him very well now and make him just a really solid player. So we'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best way to eat right, but still have it feel good, have it feel fun, have you enjoy what it is that you're eating. Okay, have you tried the Puffs? If you have not tried the Puffs, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallows. Fluffy, marshmallowy, not just a protein bar. They are a treat covered in 100% real chocolate. They got great flavors like cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're all going to be your new favorite. Again, covered in 100% real chocolate. And unlike most candy bars, which are like 200, maybe even 300 calories, most Built Bars contain just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, not a lot in either, but 17 grams of protein. And that is the good stuff. Always cool, interesting, unique flavor combinations. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at built.com.
So before we get to KCP and Kuz, we have pointed out that if you leave us comments with 5-star ratings on the iTunes show page for the Locked On Lakers page, we will read them, even if they're not necessarily nice about us. But though, you know, if they are, we like it even more. This one from Persian Guy 24. I listen every day and I want to personally say thank you. No beating around the bush on this podcast. And I love the moments of comedy mixed in. I am very funny. This season has been a joke, so it only makes sense to laugh. True. This one from APRMD, LOL podcast. That's this one. Does a great job, pretty good job, I should say, of highlighting the cracks and scratches on the veneer of this season's Lakers, despite their biased alignment with the franchise. I don't think you do enough to hold LeBron's feet to the fire. He has had some great late game, some late game turnovers, missed clutch shots, lapses in defense. Call him out as much as you do Russ. First thing there, we are definitely not aligned with the franchise. In fact, we have at least heard that the franchise didn't particularly like us when we used to host the pre and post game shows, which is in part why we don't do that anymore. It's interesting though, before we get back to the coup stuff, like how much, I think we treat LeBron pretty fairly, not afraid to criticize him some. It's like, it's funny, like, you know, for all the, I feel like it's easier to justify and talk about, like, look, guys, like the defense on the court and like not being able to go full out. I think we at least explain the context around that. But the stuff where it's easier to be critical of him, and I think he deserves more of it, is the off the court stuff, like the sort of the leadership and the things that play into the dynamics that go on. I don't think we've been shy about talking about that.
No, I mean, we devoted entire podcast segments to talking about the chaos around the trade deadline and LeBron's very clumsy handling of it and trying to, you know, really deflect the effects of what he very clearly was trying to do. I think the blowback was much different and much more sharp than he expected.
I would agree.
And with some, you know, with items like, for example, defense, you know, I mean, we've acknowledged that in certain respects, there's reasons that he can't be as effective as the Lakers need him to be. He's just, I think, not physically capable of doing it now. But that being said, even if it's understandable or even justifiable, there's still a trickle-down effect from it.
Like, you know what? I agree with you. That's a really great segue, because one of the things that I think is most interesting that has come from Frank Vogel all year long is talking about how guys like LeBron, AD, Westbrook are all put in a position this year where they have to do more of the dirty work. They have to do more of the little stuff. They have, all while carrying, you know, a higher burden. The best indication that this trade wasn't going to work in the way that anybody intended was that instead of having their loads lightened, LeBron and AD, it became very clear we're going to have to be better than they were last year, like way better. That is not what was supposed to happen. And yeah, part of the reason, Andy, that they now are in a position where they have to do their regular jobs plus the dirty work plus the other stuff, whatever, is because the team gutted its own middle class. Players like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, players like Kyle Kuzma, players like Montrezl Harrell, who are all imperfect. None of them are all-stars, but they're way better than like the average or even below average NBA player. And we are learning this year, those guys matter a lot.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're talking about somebody like Kuzma, who, you know, like I said earlier, during the periods where he had to adjust playing with, you know, LeBron, but then LeBron and AD, when it truly became cemented, okay, you are third at best in the pecking order on this team, and you have no choice but to adjust your game towards more role player-y type things. Mm-hmm. You know, Kuzma flourished there. And, you know, he became better defensively. He became, you know, better at just the all-around stuff that he didn't seem as good at early on when he really was focused and I think encouraged to score. But now what you're seeing with the Wizards is the ability to take all that stuff that he learned as a role player to, you know, to stretch out and expand the different things that he can do and apply them in a setting where he's actually asked to do more of it. Like he's actually now asked to play more closer to a star player, but those things that he learned to do before don't go away. Like right now he's averaging a career high in rebounds per 36. He's averaging per 36, a career high in assists. He's averaging a career high in overall field goal percentage, you know, 17-ish points per game. Like this is really, really good production.
It is. And it's not, and I can hear Lakers fans saying, yeah, but he wouldn't be doing that here. Obviously not. He didn't. But the point is you need guys who are capable of that. And those are, that's again, those the numbers that you put out there are not, it's not going to make Kyle Kuzma an all-star. It's like, he's never going to be an all-star. Very, very unlikely that he'll ever be an all-star. You know, KCP certainly never going to be an all-star, but like you need dudes who can do more than one or two things at a time, who can play at a B plus level or a B level, or, you know, if everybody is average, then you need a lot of C pluses and B minuses. If you have a roster of C pluses and B minuses, that means you don't have a lot of below average players. It means you're not putting below average NBA talent out on the floor at any one given time. What the Lakers have tried to do this year is a lot of A's and a lot of C minuses and D's. And I don't mean to demean the players who are on these like sort of 1 year contracts, or, you know, a guy like Talen Horton Tucker, who is, you know, probably league average-ish or whatever. But like the difference between, you know, Bojan Bogdanovic and Jordan Clarkson and Mike Conley and Rudy Gay and, you know, Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles, I'm just naming guys just on Utah after you get past Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. They're, you know, clear stars. So you go to Phoenix and they have, you know, Cam Johnson and Bridges and
Jay Crowder.
And just like really competent professional campaign, professional players who are better than average. And what the Lakers have to figure out, I think, Andy, is how can they rebuild this middle class? And they don't have a lot of options to do it. They have a couple exceptions coming up, and you can fiddle with the cap here, you can do it there. I mean, it's why, you know, the hypothetical that you threw out, and I am extraordinarily dubious that it could actually happen. If you could somehow trade Westbrook for three bad contracts that you wouldn't otherwise want, but they're three at least competent NBA players, you would do that in a heartbeat, because then you're starting to build that group of players back on your roster. That's one of the huge challenges that they have into this offseason and then the next few coming up.
Yeah, I'll say this, though, too, in terms of the middle class and the appreciation that the Lakers as an organization needs to have more towards it. I think in certain respects, it also is going to apply to the fans appreciating it as well. And Kuz and KCP, you know, they both start for this team. They are going to think, I think, get ovations when they're first introduced.
Absolutely.
They deserve it. And these are two guys that throughout their time with the Lakers, and it actually dawned on me, Brian, Kuzma's entire career, he's played with KCP. His rookie year was KCP's first season with the Lakers. So, you know, he's gone on this entire ride with KCP specifically, but
it's like Shrek and Donkey.
but those two guys, you know, there have been a lot of periods where fans were really down on both of them. Like KCP had that opening to, I don't remember, was it the championship season or the fall? I think it was the championship season where he started out super slow and he was getting viciously booed. And I mean, fans were really, really going at it in a way that hurt him. And, you know, KCP is a good dude. And all that guy ever did, even when he was at his worst in the early on with the Lakers, he was being asked to do more than he was capable of. All the guy ever did was bust his ass, hustle, do whatever you asked of him, do whatever dirty work assignment, pick up, you know, pick up defensive assignments of guys like Kawhi Leonard, who he had no chance against. And he'd do it without complaining. He'd always put in the effort. And I think there's going to be, and I listed everything that Kuz went through, you know, from a fan perspective. I think there's been more of an appreciation of what those guys did in the end, you know, on balance while they were Lakers. And I imagine that's going to come out in the reception that they get tonight. And I'm glad because they deserve it.
And I'll say my last point on this and we'll go is just, you know, there's just sports is filled with all sports fans and sports are filled with all kinds of phenomena. We had that, you know, note on the show page saying we're not hard enough on LeBron. Okay. That's fair. But like, we also tend to be really hard on, you know, Avery Bradley for not being better than Avery Bradley is. It's like, he's, you know, talk about guys playing hard, this, that, or whatever. Avery Bradley's playing hard. He's doing the best he can. He is arguably not that good anymore as an NBA player. That's not so much his fault as it is for the Lakers' fault for needing him to be better. So this happens all the time. I remember I used to, you know, fans will be harder on role players than they are on star players sometimes. They would yell at other guys who weren't Kobe when, like, sometimes you needed Kobe to be better. But my big hope is that the front office remembers as much as I hope fans do. I really hope the front office does. So I think we're gonna certainly try to come back with an episode following Friday night's game, which should be a really interesting one on a few different levels. The Lakers obviously need a win, but a lot of big reunions. Lock on
the
Lakers.
So do the Wizards, by the way.
They do.
They're trying to stay in the play-in.
It's an 11 versus a 10.
the NBA, it's fantastic.
Fantastic. That's right. People paying good money for that. So, you know, we'll do our best to get that one up for you. Locked on Lakers on YouTube. Remember to subscribe to that. You get all the podcasts, or at least especially the non-game day ones early. See you, everyone. Hopefully Saturday and definitely Monday.